Wrestling fans, assemble. Guys, I'm Hollywood JDT, and man, oh man, I know you guys love wrestling, and if you guys like sports and entertainment, including Avengers Endgame, the movie that broke the box office worldwide, we have it all for you guys at the Show Podcast. Check us out, Hollywood JDT and Stuntman Kirk. We break it down. We break down the world of the WWE. We break down movies. We break down sports. Check us out, guys, on Facebook, The Show Podcast, on Twitter and Instagram, show_podcast_00. Check us out. You can hear us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and Podbean. Thank you, guys. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is Thursday, May 2nd, 2019. As always, thank you very much for joining me. As you have many options out there, I do thank you for choosing this one and giving it a listen. And those of you who are new, welcome to the show. I want to, first and foremost, before getting into the wrestling end, we have a lot of wrestling to get to. To be honest, it's not even a whole lot about Raw and SmackDown. It's a lot about the news wire that is just lighting up today and last night. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. But first, I want to address the podcast co-host position that I had open. Let me just say, first and foremost, thank you to everybody who expressed interest. I haven't had the chance to email everybody back or DM everybody back. I do see them. Trust me, I received all of them. It's a much larger response than I had anticipated in terms of getting interest in this position. And I'm a bit back and forth on exactly what I want to do because there are many of you that have applied that I have never spoken with. I don't know if, in all fairness, if the chemistry is there, but that's not to say that I am counting anybody out that I have not spoken with before. So what I'm going to do, I know that I mentioned that last week I would have a selection made by the end of this week, aka like, you know, today, tomorrow, or Saturday, but due to the overwhelming interest and so many of you that I've never worked with before, what I'm going to do is give a rotating schedule to those who applied and seem semi-serious. And I'm going to bring those people on the show. We'll just have a show together, something super unofficial. We'll run through Raw and SmackDown. We'll make it a live show in terms of, you know, the record button will be on. I'm not saying actually live to interact with listeners, although I've thought about that. But rather what I'll do is just, again, bring on some of you who have applied and just run through a show and we'll make it a real show and just see how it goes. I think that it could be a good thing to see exactly how I interact and how you interact and how the listeners react to all of the new voices. And I think it'll be good for the show. It'll be good for me, selfishly, and good for the listeners because you guys don't just have to hear my same voice drone on. So I think that's what I'm going to do is select some of those who have applied. Not everybody. I can't say everybody. And the reason I say I can't say everybody is because if I did every single person that applied and I brought them on the show, it would take over a year. So do the math on that. And I don't want that. I do actually want to, I do want to have a real co-host, and I have some of you in mind, some of you who, you gave me a great background on what your audio experience is. You have your own show, your own podcast, and maybe you want to do kind of a dual show, I have requests from you there. I have previous co-hosts who have expressed interest, and I absolutely will bring them on the show as well and really give everyone a fair shake. Look, I'm not tooting my own horn. Again, I'm not trying to say, oh my God, this is, look at how many people are just interested in being the co-host. That's not the case. It's just impossible for me to pick somebody for where the majority of you who have applied, I've never spoken to at all. So that's the deal. I want to make sure that it's a fair shake for everybody. And again, I'll bring on previous co-hosts and a ton of people that have never, ever, ever said a word on this show. So I think it'll be fun, and I'm going to start doing that next week. So stay tuned for that, and don't get discouraged if I haven't responded to your email. But I can't bring on all. I will bring on some, and we will see how it goes. And those of you that I don't select, I thank you so much for being a listener. It's nothing personal at all. It's nothing personal at all. It's just it's the fact of time. I don't have the time to go through every single person. And I do thank you for reaching out and expressing interest. It's much appreciated. And I encourage you to keep listening to the show. And maybe we'll bring other people on as the co-host gets established, and we bring on a guest co-host at times, or if my co-host is unavailable or whatever. Anyway, I'm getting a couple steps ahead of myself and rambling. So let's get to the wrestling news. I'm going to get to the news first, because that seems to be, at least in my brain, the most relevant at this point. And when I say news, it's, again, as I said at the top of the show, not necessarily a Raw or SmackDown event. It is number one ratings. Now, I know for some people, you don't look at the ratings. People don't care. So a lot of viewers don't care about the ratings. They just watch the show and it doesn't affect them. And that's fine. I was one of those until I became a podcast co-host and I started to look at the analytics and the financials of WWE and look at it from a more of a business perspective than just, hey, I'm being entertained every couple of days by WWE. And when you look at the ratings, they are, look, flat out awful. That's not an opinion. That's not me being negative, as many people like to label me as. It's just fact. It's fact that the ratings have tanked and tanked badly. How bad? Well, they are 1/3, 33% drop from the exact same time frame last year. That is shocking. And you may chalk it up to, people are cord cutting. People are cord cutting. Everything's Hulu. Everything's streaming. Well, a third. One in every three people cut the cord, and those people are now using Hulu to watch Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. Really? You can't put all of the blame on that figure being the cord cutting factor. It's some, of course, it's some of it. Another argument in the defense of these ratings tankings is, well, it's cyclical. After WrestleMania, people just take off. Well, yeah, they do. They do. That's absolutely true that after WrestleMania, it is a decline in ratings. There is no question about that. But you have to remember that this time last year, that's the key that I said, is that we are comparing apples to apples. It's not comparing the week before WrestleMania last year to now the month after WrestleMania, in which a third of it has dropped. This is apples to apples. Same time frame, same shows, a third of a drop. That's, again, this is just jarring, and it has to be jarring for WWE. Why should you care as a viewer? You're wondering, it's not my company. Why do I care? I'm still watching the show. The reason you should care is because WWE, if you watch closely over the next few weeks, will try to position themselves as business as usual. Like nothing is happening. Everything is just sugar-coated and we're all fine. It's like that meme. Has everybody seen that meme where this dog is sitting in, I think it's his kitchen or something. It's an animated meme. And he's sitting in his kitchen drinking coffee or tea, wide-eyed. And all around him is fire. And above him it says, I'm fine, or it's fine. And all around him everything's burning. Now, that's a bit dramatic for what's happening with WWE's ratings, of course, but it's the same premise that right now WWE has to be a little bit concerned, regardless of all the excuses that's after WrestleMania, cord cutting. They still have to be a bit concerned here. The reason they need to be a bit concerned is because, hey, they have a massive Fox deal coming up in October. Does Fox back out if these ratings continue? You have to think about that. If you're WWE, what does that mean for you as a viewer? It could go, honestly, both ways. They could double down on the storylines that they currently have, and everything will appear as normal. In which rankings, I think, will accurately reflect those efforts. Or you could see the opposite, in which I don't want to say they're going to blow the whole model up. They won't. Because, like many people thought when Vince and Shane and Stephanie and Triple H all came out last fall and said, oh, everything's going to change. The power is now in your hands, you know, as if it should not have been in the first place. And people thought they were going to blow up the entire model. The programming is going to look different. No. And this is not going to be the case either. They have a very well-crafted, concrete model that they do not derive from. They may tweak, and they may put a new coat of paint on it, but they don't change the foundation of what they produce and how they produce professional wrestling. That's not going to change. Anybody who thinks otherwise is just fooling themselves. But they have to be concerned, and maybe they bring back new, maybe they do something shocking have an invasion of sorts, or bring back a big name or two. And that kind of leads me into, well, again, those are all temporary fixes, but that leads me into the next news story. And that is, wait for it, Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg are both reportedly coming back to WWE. Goldberg is hyping up his return to WWE. He did it on his Twitter, so you know that it's not just conjecture. He said, who's next? What's next? Stay tuned, with a shh face. So it's happening. Goldberg is still on the warpath here. I think that this is clearly aimed towards the Saudi Arabia event that's coming up next month, as they return to the very controversial Saudi Arabia. I think that clearly he is going to be the candidate there, as well as Brock Lesnar. Now, do I think they're going to face each other? No. God, please, no. I do not need another Brock Lesnar, Bill Goldberg spectacular, if that's what you want to call it. We do not need another one of those. They need to stay the hell away from each other and work separately. But could this help ratings? Absolutely. Both have extremely high name value, brand awareness. Both guys are some of the biggest names in professional wrestling. Brock Lesnar, not just in professional wrestling, obviously with his background in MMA. There's no question that Brock Lesnar is a household name. And Bill Goldberg, to the same effect, in the wrestling world, and more with WCW than WWE, but wrestling fans know who he is. Know the name Bill Goldberg. So again, this could help ratings for WWE in the short term. Neither guy is the future of WWE, so you know that whatever they're doing next is going to be short-lived, short-term, and is going to be nothing more than a quick band-aid for the larger issue of creating new stars. That's always the big issue with WWE, is creating stars. And regardless of how they want to present their brand overall, to make sure that the brand is bigger than every star and any star on the roster or all of them combined, stars are what make the company, not the company makes stars. And that is and always will be the case. So I think that's the macro issue here for WWE. Well, they bring back all these old names from the 90s. And, well, not really in Brock's case. In Brock's case, it was the early 2000s, the mid-2000s before he ended up leaving. That's a nice headline. It's just a short-term solution for a long-term problem. And you know, I don't know how much WWE can really chalk this up to injuries. Roman's back. Daniel Bryan, okay, Daniel Bryan's out, but we have the Kofi Kingston story, and I'm gonna get to that as well from the SmackDown Live portion of the wrestling week here in WWE. And so another news item coming out is, and I didn't even know this, about Carmella and Corey Graves apparently hooking up, and Carmella is the homewrecker for Corey Graves, who broke up his marriage. Carmella denies this, but she said the truth will come out on one of the Total Divas episodes this year. So we will see. But he's going through a divorce right now, and I can't imagine that's an easy thing to do and put aside. So also rumors, and I guess it's, I don't know, not even really rumor, is that Undertaker, in addition to Goldberg and Brock Lesnar, is going to be making his return to Saudi Arabia. And, man, I don't know what it is about Saudi Arabia that just pulls these guys out of hibernation. I guess it's, I think I know one guess. Anybody got the guess as to exactly why they're being pulled out of the woodwork? Yeah. Rhymes with funny. And Saudi Arabia has a lot of it. So I think that has just a tiny bit to do with these three massive stars coming out of their slumber and back into the WWE picture. So no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind. Okay, so taking a quick break, and then we're going to get to the Raw and SmackDown Live news. A lot of interesting developments this week in WWE, including the Hardys relinquishing their tag team title belts. Lars Sullivan going on another tear. Seth Rollins and AJ Styles getting physical for the first time on Monday Night Raw, and a ton more. So stay right here, and we'll be right back.
Wrestling fans, assemble. Guys, I'm Hollywood JDT, and man, oh man, I know you guys love wrestling, and if you guys like sports and entertainment, including Avengers Endgame, the movie that broke the box office worldwide, we have it all for you guys at The Show Podcast. Check us out, Hollywood JDT and Stuntman Kirk. We break it down. We break down the world of the WWE. We break down movies. We break down sports. Check us out, guys, on Facebook, The Show Podcast, on Twitter and Instagram, show_podcast_00. Check us out. You can hear us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and Podbean. Thank you, guys. We look forward to hearing from you.
Are you looking for an easy way to find an inexpensive vehicle? Then check out the Auto Auctions app. You can find them on Twitter at DC Auto Auction, or go to the carauctionnetwork.com/auto-auctions-app. That's carauctionnetwork.com/auto-auctions-app. Now, what does this app do? It allows you to find both public and dealer auto auctions in the United States. It's available for iOS and the App Store on Apple. So whatever phone you have, the App Store has it. You can use this app to find cheap used cars near you that have clean titles and have not been wrecked. And yes, using the app is totally free. There is no registration required. And you won't be asked to enter any personal information to view cars for sale. So check out the Public Auto Auctions app, available on Apple and Android, or just go to the website at carauctionnetwork.com/auto-auctions-app today. All right, let's get to some of the, you know what, let's get to something I really loved this week. Something I really loved and something that stuck out and something I don't hear a whole lot of people talking about. Sami Zayn, his brilliance. And he hasn't even had a match since he's been back. Sami Zayn's brilliance. Why do I think it's brilliant? Because it's very simple. He's being himself. How many times, if you guys followed the news feed or not, if you did, you heard how many times Sami Zayn, when he was interviewed by various podcast hosts or what have you, that he was happy where he was. He actually didn't miss coming back or didn't miss the ring. And then that translated 6 months later into, yeah, I really didn't want to be here. So whether he was long-term planning for this character or it was just derived after he returned, it's brilliant. He he is one of the few guys that I still watch and believe. I believe what he's saying because I think it's true. I think everything he's saying is true, that he's sick of the fans feeling like they have the power and he's going to come out here and hold every one of us accountable. It's just brilliant. And he has a great promo right now. And I really look forward to his segment every week. This is when I love wrestling. And again, this is when wrestling's at its best. Sometimes even when it's not inside the ring in terms of physicality, when there's a character I can invest in, whether I love or love to hate him or her, then I'm there. I'm invested. It reminds me why I love the product. And right now, Sami Zayn has it. For how long? I don't know. But he has it right now, and I hope they continue with this. I don't know what the end game is. I don't know if he brings a stable in. I don't know where this ends, but so far I'm in lockstep. Okay, let's see where this goes. You have me. You have me. You have me, and let's take this journey. So speaking of having me and things I loved this week, again, Bray Wyatt. I'm so happy they didn't toss this one in the garbage because of soft snowflakes that are existing in the public sector of the stockholders of WWE. I am excited that they just decided to say F it and continue, because Bray Wyatt right now also has me hook, line, and sinker. And I don't need to see him in the ring anytime soon. As I mentioned last week, maybe at the very earliest you could do it at Money in the Bank as an appearance, but not before. I don't need to see him facing anybody. I don't need to see Bray Wyatt really even interacting with anybody other than himself and his puppets. I'm really, really liking the Firefly Funhouse. There's a lot of potential there. A lot of potential. Again, similar to Sami Zayn, I don't know what the end game is here. I think that this is a darker version of Bray Wyatt that he is trying to suppress, and he's covering it with unicorns and rainbows. And someone somehow, some way, is going to bring the dark side out of him, and he's going to have to fight it on air. And I think the crowd's going to love it. I really do. I think it very well could be. People are drawing parallels to Mick Foley's Dude Love versus Cactus Jack and the transformation that made. And when it makes sense, you bring out that dark character. I mean, Finn Balor's got it, although he brings it out just because. No, it's a big event. It's WrestleMania. Regardless of who I'm facing or what the program calls for, I'm just going to bring out the demon. Well, why? Why? Nah, I need reasons. I need something to make sense. And I think that's the character path that Bray Wyatt is on, is that he is going to be this fun-filled guy that comes out and tries to spread love and joy, and people poke and prod. And eventually you poke the bear enough, it's going to poke back, and he's going to try. You'll see flashes, maybe the screen will go dark, and then he'll fight it. He'll keep trying to fight it, and it'll be a flash, and he'll fight it, and eventually transform into, I don't know, maybe another kind of... I just hope it doesn't go completely back to the way he was. I think that was a little bit stale and needed something. So if he does end up giving into the darkness, it needs to be some other iteration of what he was before. So we'll see. I'm loving it. He drew the painting of the house that was on fire, akin to when Randy Orton burned down his house with Sister Abigail in there. Kind of a convoluted storyline there of the powers that he possesses are no longer, but then he somehow resurrected Sister Abigail to bring himself back and stronger than ever. It was very bizarre. But that's exactly what he was drawing, was the house that Randy Orton burned down. So maybe that's who he goes after first, although Randy's on SmackDown and he's on Raw. I don't know. But apparently that doesn't matter. Apparently brand classifications for stars don't matter, and even don't matter for announcers who just inexplicably switch from Raw to SmackDown. The latest victim, Michael Cole. Kind of a smooth transition there. Michael Cole on SmackDown Live this week, who comes out there smiling like he got his first kiss in sixth grade, smiling from ear to ear like a big dork. I mean, there's no other way to put Michael Cole. And I actually really, really like and I respect Michael Cole more than I think people give him credit for. I think he doesn't get the credit he deserves for steering the ship every single Monday night with not just calling a play-by-play, but the knowledge he has on the product and... The the ability to manage multiple priorities of remembering storylines and dealing with Vince McMahon in his ear every 5 minutes, I'm sure. And in addition, there's all this extra social media stuff going on and charity stuff that he has to navigate and commercial breaks, and it's a three-person booth. There's a lot there, and I think Michael Cole is, when he's not there, it is extremely noticeable. And when I say he's a big dork, it's because he is a dork. I think in real life he's a dork. And when he smiles, it's just obnoxious, even if it's a genuine smile, which I don't think it was, of how excited he was about Kofi Kingston. He sat at ringside and called it. And Michael Cole believes, well, he said, that it is the biggest WrestleMania moment of all time. Really? Was it? Was it the biggest of all time? You know, other than, oh, I don't know, Shawn Michaels retiring, Ric Flair, or Shawn Michaels' last match against The Undertaker at WrestleMania 26, or, oh, hey, I don't know, Undertaker's streak being broken at WrestleMania 30, Stone Cold becoming champion for the first time at WrestleMania 14, or Stone Cold versus The Rock, 1, 2, or 3, whether that's WrestleMania 15, 17, or 19, or Stone Cold's last match at WrestleMania 19. No, you're right. Kofi Kingston winning the SmackDown, or winning the WWE Championship, certainly outranks all of them. In addition to outranking Daniel Bryan's rise to fame at WrestleMania 30, defeating Batista and Randy Orton in a triple threat match. No, you're right. This, Michael Cole, this is the biggest WrestleMania moment of all time. Nothing else even comes close. Can you tell he was scripted to say that? And can you tell he didn't believe it? These are the kinds of things, and I was listening to another major wrestling podcast out there, so I'm not going to take credit for this idea, but I will relay it and echo it, is that when they do stuff like this, it's desperation mode when they do that. When WWE tries to present their product in a way that's over the top, where people are excited about things at a level they shouldn't be excited for them, it shows that they're trying to manufacture the excitement that fans, that their WWE are telling fans that they should feel to get the product back on track. But it's not a genuine feeling. People loved Kofi Kingston. They loved the story. But I don't know if it's a genuine feeling that people believe, a genuine thought or consensus that people actually believe that Kofi Kingston winning at WrestleMania was the greatest WrestleMania moment of all time. I mean, wow, that's a tall order that is not even believable. You're telling me that Kofi Kingston, I mean, I could just go on, that Hulk Hogan slamming Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3 in the Silver Dome was not as big as Kofi Kingston winning? I mean, think about these things, folks. Does Vince McMahon think we have like a goldfish memory? Oh my God, it just, that was just too much for me. I'm sitting there just go, what? What? Stone Cold says, what? Oh boy. So let's move on to some other things here. I actually enjoy, by the way, Kevin Owens. People think that he turned too soon. Now, let me counter that. People are saying, oh, he turned way too soon. It should have been a couple of months worth of a story. And you know what? It could have been. And the turn would have been maybe even less expected because of the fact that he would have sold you that he's all in. But what do you do when Big E comes back? Okay, Big E's not going to be gone for that long. He's only going to be gone another couple of weeks, probably up until Money in the Bank. But Kevin Owens is a formidable opponent for Kofi Kingston. They were going to do Kevin Owens and Kofi Kingston anyway at the pay-per-view before WrestleMania. So this match was going to happen anyway. And I know that Daniel Bryan getting injured was throwing a wrench into the plans. We don't know where Daniel Bryan is. The announcers have acted like he hasn't existed, which they have probably and clearly been instructed to do. But Daniel Bryan does not exist right now. And we know that. But you have Kevin Owens who turned on the New Day. And you know what? At first, I thought it was a little too soon. But Kevin Owens taking advantage of a vulnerable New Day with no Big E. No Big E, he's not there, made sense to me. And having him turn quickly, I'm fine with. I don't need a long, drawn-out Chris Jericho turn at the Festival of Friendship type of story. I'm of the belief of long-term stories. I think those are always a good thing in most cases, but they don't always have to be. And I'm fine with Kevin turning. In retrospect, maybe they should have laid it a little longer and milked this a little more, but I'm fine with the turn. I think Kevin Owens is more in his element as a heel. I don't want him be a chicken, you know what, heel when he was facing Braun Strowman, hiding in porta potties and running like a bully on a playground that had someone stand up to him. I want him to be brutal, nasty, do underhanded things and brutalize people. Stop! I don't need Kevin Owens running. We saw it, and it wasn't a good look for him before he left. Okay, so moving on, some things that I didn't like, and not because they were bad storyline-wise, but just I didn't like to see, were the Hardys relinquishing their tag team titles. And I can't believe in 2019 I'm still saying that the Hardy Boys were tag team champions. I mean, let's just think about that. Think about that. The longevity of these two is unparalleled, and that's testament to both of those guys and being able to stay healthy and take care of their bodies. And the medical staff, too. So, again, Jeff Hardy injured, legitimate injury. They have to relinquish the belts. Lars Sullivan comes out and demolishes them, as well as R-Truth, who gave Lars a chair shot, which is ineffective. And then we have a beatdown of Matt Hardy and R-Truth. I'm enjoying Lars Sullivan so far. So, look at that. Another good thing I liked is Lars Sullivan. They're calling him the Freak. Let's see how long people let that go before they, oh my God, that's offensive. You can't call somebody a freak. That's offensive to people in real life. They get called freaks at school. Oh, look at how soft we are. Like, wait, just wait. Just wait. Oh my God, my kid got called a freak and WWE is promoting this. They're doing anti-bullying campaigns, but oh my God, they're labeling one of their wrestlers as a freak. That's offensive. I'm telling you right now, you may say, Matt, shut up. That's not going to happen. Just wait. Just wait. Some mom's group somewhere will try to push this down and get him renamed to the weird guy, or I don't know, something softer that doesn't promote the fact that he looks like a freak. But in WWE's defense, you could always say we meant a freak of nature, that he's freaky strong, freaky big. But look at him, when his smile, his teeth. You could say he's a freak, but that's an asset when you are trying to make money with a big, strong guy like Lars Sullivan. So it's a asset. It's a compliment that is typically not viewed as a compliment in the soft snowflake world that we live in right now. But just wait, as the Moms Against WWE group builds, and that's a real thing. Moms Against WWE. Really? Y'all are going after WWE. And look it up on Twitter. They're there. Moms Against WWE. Really? So Moms Against WWE, who actually does a hell of a lot of charity work, is TVPG. Are you not doing your job as a parent? Is that the problem? Because if your kids are watching WWE and the content on that program is questionable, well, why aren't you censoring what they watch? Is WWE really the most toxic thing out there? I mean, oh my God. Oh, some of these people just, okay. One of these times I'm going to go on like a political rant, and it's going to be epic. It's going to be bad. And then you guys will never listen to this show again because it will be super offensive to some people. So anyway, so those are some of the things I noticed from SmackDown. Becky Lynch and her feud with the Lacey Evans, the sassy Southern Belle. Everybody's got to have a nickname. Can't just have a name. Everybody's got to have a cute little nickname. But I'm enjoying Lacey Evans. I really am enjoying Lacey Evans. She's got a good promo. I wouldn't say great, but I would say it holds my attention, which means that's good. So she has a good promo. I like how she speaks. It's very slow, but not annoyingly slow. That allows you to absorb and pay attention to what she's saying. I enjoy that as well. Charlotte getting involved in on SmackDown Live and laying out Becky, I'm fine with. I just really hope that at the end of Money in the Bank, this is the last time that we see these two go one-on-one for just a year. Please, just a year. I don't need it. Maybe they'll reunite as the Four Horsewomen with Bayley and Sasha, and they'll do the Four Horsewomen against the Four Horsewomen from MMA. One little nugget that I'd like to bring up, and I bring this up every time WWE, whenever they need to get called out for their crap. And this is just simply a marketing slogan that they use for Survivor Series, and we all know what that is. It's the one time a year when SmackDown and Raw go head-to-head. Is it? Oh, so you mean other than WrestleMania matches, other than the Royal Rumble, and other than Money in the Bank? Yeah. Other than those, this is the one time a year. So why not this is the one out of four times. I mean, so just wait till Survivor Series rolls around, but they'll hope you forget about Money in the Bank when SmackDown and Raw are competing with each other to go head to head in competition, eating their own words against them. That's what they are doing to grab the briefcase. They're going head to head in competition. So I just love it. I love it. And then the Royal Rumble, I mean, what else is that? That's head to head too. I mean, it's just amazing. And you can't say, oh, head-to-head means one-on-one, because guess what happens at Survivor Series? The traditional Survivor Series elimination match. Okay? And what are they? They're not one-on-one, so this whole, oh, it's only one-on-one, is not true. So other than the other three times a year, sure, yeah, that's the only time that they go head-to-head. But don't worry. Survivor Series is 6 months away. We will all forget that by then. It's just amazing. One other little critique, and instead of saying things I love and things I hate, I'll just say things I love and things I would recommend that they address. How about that for those people that think I complain too much? Is the opening of Raw. I mean, why does every single time, I don't mind the announcers doing it at all because they're welcoming the millions of fans who are watching at home. But why, whether it's Stephanie, Triple H, or this last victim of Alexa Bliss, welcome to Monday Night Raw. Why can't we just get into the show? I know what show I'm at. I bought the ticket. It's pretty clear what show I'm at. I don't need to have it done every single time. It's so corporate. It's that, even though that's just the smallest thing, you guys say, why is he talking about that? Because those little things I pick up on that speak to the larger issue, that those little monicums of control speak to a larger issue of control that WWE has that is strangleholding their own product by having. And what I mean by all of that jargon is when you listen to Alexa Bliss's promo this past Monday night, go listen to it again if you want to just do it. It's only a couple of minutes. She comes out and she says, welcome to Monday Night Raw. And she talks about Money in the Bank. And she says, she starts talking about the stars that are going to be in the Money in the Bank ladder match. And she says, and featuring so-and-so, she speaks like it was handed to her on a piece of paper 5 minutes before she went out. I mean, you could have put Stephanie McMahon in that same role and it would have felt more like her voice. But why do we always have to have somebody come out and speak like they're reading some kind of advertising campaign for the pay-per-view coming up? I know you're trying to promote the pay-per-view, but don't make it sound like you're trying to promote the pay-per-view. It's not language that Alexa Bliss would ever use. It's corporate speak. Listen to it. Stephanie McMahon is as guilty as anybody, and Triple H as well. They have the exact same language. Remember when the Authority used to come out there and they would promote the pay-per-view? Usually it was the week before a pay-per-view. And they would come out and they would say basically the same thing. And for the tag team titles, we have the Usos featuring the Bar. And nobody says featuring. The word featuring is not what you use. You use featuring on Broadway. You don't use it when you're speaking. You're supposed to be speaking in your normal human voice to a live audience. Unless it looked like she was reading cue cards. I mean, really. And it's not Alexa Bliss's fault. I'm not knocking Alexa Bliss. She's ultra talented. I'm not talking about ultra talented because she's super hot. We all know that. I'm not watching her because she's hot. I'm watching her because she does a damn good job on the mic. But when I know it's not Alexa speaking, it takes me out of the moment. It's just those little things add up to me. Oh my God, he's going on a rant about those. You know what? Yes, I am. Yes, I am, because those things, while they're so small, are so easy to fix and make such a difference in the presentation and engagement of a product for fans watching at home and in the audience live. I just don't need, I want them to feel like it's their voice. And it's almost never the case at the beginning of Raw. Kurt Angle was the exact same way. They would give him the same lines to say, promoting the pay-per-view, featuring, what? My God, those kinds of things, it doesn't matter who's speaking them, it's the same words, which means whoever is speaking them, it's not their words, because anybody could have put that in there. Oh my God. Oh, he went on a rant about the beginning of Raw promos. You know what? You're damn right I did. Because I think it needs to be said. So, one other thing, and I'm not going to rant on this, I'll just note, that segment with Alexa Bliss announcing herself as the final competitor in the women's Money in the Bank ladder match. And by the way, I don't know why she lost her last match, her first match back. That was puzzling. But, yikes. What is Dana Brooke coming out there? Oh, yeah. See, you guys get an opportunity. You get an opportunity. I don't get an opportunity. Yet, she's out there getting an opportunity she does not deserve and hasn't won a match on SmackDown or Raw in months, if ever. I'm not talking, somebody's pointed out, oh, she won on Main Event. I'm talking about shows people watch. I'm not talking about the glorified house shows that just happen to be aired by WWE. That's basically what Main Event is. Let's be honest. Main Event is like the new camera crew guy going to a house show and saying, all right, Sam, you can go out there and these matches and storylines, they don't matter. But listen, you need some experience on the camera. Get out there and just film it. And we'll be in the back and we'll talk after. I mean, really, it's not that the camera works bad. That's not my point. My point is that the storylines on Main Event mean zero. So my point is that Dana Brooke winning on Main Event means zero. So back to my point. Dana Brooke coming out there and just basically her whole argument is that, oh, everyone's getting an opportunity but me. Really? You're getting the opportunity of a lifetime, storyline-wise, with zero wins under your belt in the last 6 months. Where's this argument coming from? It was such a manufactured, catty segment. Terrible. It was terrible. I mean, let's be honest. But the positive, I'm going to take a positive from it, is that Alexa Bliss is back. And I'm glad she's physically able and has been physically able and cleared to return to the ring. It's a good thing. I'm excited for Alexa to see her back. And right now she seems to be a babyface. We'll see if that continues. I'm still not understanding this Paige, Kairi Sane, and Asuka mix. I don't understand it. And the reason I don't understand it is, well, because it was never explained to me. Why is Paige with these two women? Are those two together just because they're both Asian and Paige has nothing better to do? I just give me something. I don't know. Maybe you guys, I don't even care if it's something as stupid as, yeah, we were out drinking after the show and we just, you know, started to bond. Fine. I mean, I don't care. Give me something other than just sticking these people together and Paige saying she has a tag team coming and then she's their manager. Well, why? Wait. Just come up with something. I don't care if it's something lazy. It's better than nothing. Please. For the love of God. AJ Styles and Seth Rollins. I'm fine with their physicality. I'm fine with it. I think AJ getting the better of Seth will then have the favor return this coming Monday night. And I'm looking forward to the match. I don't think that AJ is going to win. Seth just captured the title at WrestleMania. WrestleMania title wins need to have longevity. And Seth should not lose that Universal Championship to AJ Styles. I'm looking forward to the quality of the match. I think we all believe it could steal the show, and rightfully so. And so Money in the Bank is coming up, guys, in just a couple of weeks. And then it's on to Saudi Arabia, and we get on to the next debacle there, where we have Brock Lesnar, Bill Goldberg, and The Undertaker all returning to that show. It should be quite an interesting selection of opponents for those three, but don't expect anything long term, at least from Bill Goldberg anyway, because, I mean, I don't think it would be anyway. I mean, maybe it's something from Brock and from Undertaker that leads to WrestleMania 36. It's been now rumored that Brock wants to have his final match at WrestleMania 36 in Tampa, Florida. Yours truly is planning on being there. And maybe that's the case. Maybe you see signs of something brewing of, hey, Undertaker's back. He's having a match. Is this random or something strategic that will lead all the way to WrestleMania 36? I think we need to keep our eyes peeled for that as well. So that's my show for the day, guys, or the evening, rather. It's actually a little after 9 p.m. as I finish up recording this on a Thursday, Thursday evening. I hope everybody has a great weekend. It is Cinco de Mayo coming up for those of you that celebrate or just want to drink and pretend you're Mexican. I don't know. Mother's Day is next weekend for the majority of people that should care about that. And then we roll all the way into Memorial Day. And a few weeks after that. So summer will officially get underway in about a month, but the unofficial kickoff obviously is in a few weeks. So that's a cool deal. Up here in the Northeast, the weather is awful. Awful. It's like been 2 weeks of just 60 and rain, and it looks like more of the same for another 2 weeks. So it's just discouraging. I'll tell you, the weather really, whether people believe it or not or admit it or not, has a lot to do on your mood. I mean, you could be, you know, in a good mood, and you know, you look outside and it's rainy, it's dreary. It wears on your brain. It just does. It just does. So, you know, here's to hoping things change soon. But obviously, have zero control over that. So, all right, guys. Again, thank you. I will be working with some of you on getting you on the show and doing that over the next few weeks, and then ultimately making a selection for a permanent co-host here on the show. I want to thank everyone who put their, quote, resume in to me, whether it was on Twitter or it was via email. I do appreciate those of you who are interested. And, you know, please, if I didn't get back to you, I did see your email. I did see your tweet or DM. And I thank you for your interest. And if you don't get on the show, it's nothing personal. It's just it's logistics. It's a matter of time that I have to do this. And I have very limited free time right now. So, again, I appreciate you. And I would encourage you to keep listening to the show. And, you know, oh, my God, I'm going to beg on my hands and knees for a 5-star rating. Oh, please, please give me a 5-star rating. I'm just mocking somebody that that gave me that rating. They gave me like a 1-star and said that I beg for 5 stars. I don't think I beg. I just ask like once during the show. But hey, whatever floats your boat. So, all right, guys, thank you once again for joining me. Follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast, which by the way is at the underscore WWE underscore podcast. Somebody else is getting probably a whole bunch of listener or followers for no reason. If somebody has the WWE Podcast with no separations whatsoever. And that ain't me, okay? I'm not the one that has, it's like 500 or 600 followers or something. That is not me. You'll see the logo. You'll know it's me. So, all right, guys, that's all I got. You know what I'm about to say. As always, thanks for joining. I'll talk to you next time.
I know you guys are fans of sports entertainment. You're fans of the WWE. Well, we got more for you covered at the show podcast. We got Wrestling Breaking It Down with Hollywood JDT, that's me, and Stuntman Kirk. We cover it all from show breakdown, show previews. We got sports and we got entertainment. Check it all out. Shows dropping weekly for you guys. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at show_podcast_00 and find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and Podbean. Thank you guys, and we look forward to having you hear from us.
Are you looking for an easy way to find an inexpensive vehicle? Then check out the Auto Auctions app. You can find them on Twitter at DC Auto Auction or go to the carauctionnetwork.com/auto-auctions-app. That's carauctionnetwork.com/auto-auctions-app. Now, what does this app do? It allows you to find both public and dealer auto auctions in the United States. It's available for iOS and the App Store on Apple. So whatever phone you have, the App Store has it. You can use this app to find cheap used cars near you that have clean titles and have not been wrecked. And yes, using the app is totally free. There is no registration required. And you won't be asked to enter any personal information to view cars for sale. So check out the Public Auto Auctions app, available on Apple and Android, or just go to the website at carauctionnetwork.com/auto-auctions-app today.